Okay.
100% buddy.
Tell you what they've achieved. They've achieved something absolutely rotten.
And Kieran McGeaney as a player was, you know, a phenomenal player, and he didn't cry and he didn't whinge, you know.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man.
Remember that tribe in Iraq, the Shiite tribe? Well, we've watched Shiite football.
People think I'm a bit of a lunatic, loose cannon, whatever you'd like to say.
Seamus! Come on! Move!
Hello, welcome back to the GA Scores Gaelic Life podcast. My name's Conor Donnelly and I'm joined by Ronan Scott.
Hello.
Ronan, nice to have you back. And I've also got Niall McCoy with me as well now.
Conor, how's the form?
Not so bad, not so bad. Getting towards the end of the league here now. Few teams fighting for different prizes. Ronan, you were covering the preview of the day of Derry's game. We're going to be travelling to Croke Park to take on Dublin on Saturday. Going by what Enda Lynn's saying, the kind of it's all about sort of progressing through the league to be ready for championship. That's kind of what people say whenever the league's not going right. Am I right there, or being a little bit too cynical about it?
Yeah, I think that's right. It's all gone sort of wrong for Derry. If you are the sort of person who believes that league results are all important, the spin that Derry are putting on it is that this is all about practice for the championship. And if that is the argument, playing against Dublin is not going to help, because in also we're going to be playing against just defensive teams, and playing against Dublin who aren't a defensive team, you're going to learn very little, you know?
Yeah, it's not exactly the type of game when you're thinking, okay, let's get a couple of wins to go, and you know, Dublin then Cork up after that. It's not really the sort of ones to build on momentum really going into the championship in the first place.
I was just going to say, Conor, I know it's they're almost resigned to their fate at this stage, you would think. I don't know what Ronan thinks on it there, but do you near take the view at this? We're not going to get ourselves out of this hole. We may as well, you know, look at these two games as build up the championship rather than games to try and to survive. Is there any possibility of them winning the matches? I can't see it myself. So do you approach the game differently? Do you approach it with a different mentality? Will Brian McGyver be looking at it as championship preparations rather than league survival? I suppose that's the thing that might be interesting with how to go over the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, Ronan, how much of an impact would it be them missing some of the Sloughneil contingent? Like, how many are really expected to be within that squad or even within the starting team?
No, Patsy and Chrissy McCaig are the two obvious ones. And Patsy is crucial. They were both crucial players, but, you know, they don't... I still think Derry should be able to go well without them. I think for the next two games, what he'll probably do or what he should do is just have a settled team, have two games with a settled team, so and have the same team play in these two matches and the championship, so that there's a bit of continuity going along. But the thing is, they're going to be, it's just playing against these teams that's going to be open and attacking, and that's not what they're going to be playing against in Ulster.
Yeah, it's not exactly perfect preparation for them. Another team you could probably link that to as well are Monaghan now, who are travelling down to Kerry. You know, it's not exactly going to be maybe the Kerry of old. You could say it was very different from the Ulster football, but you know, Kerry have been playing a slightly different style. But going down to Kerry to face them there, Monaghan be going great in the league now. You know, they're only 2 points off the top. They're sitting third at the minute. Now, we talked about Donegal last week, maybe going down there and getting a result. They dropped short. Are Monaghan more equipped to deal with that than, say, they were Donegal were the previous week?
Probably equally as equipped anyway. It wasn't a bad old game. Donegal kept in it fairly well. Wouldn't say they're unlucky on at the end, but they certainly weren't second best by a large distance. Monaghan, the pressure's off Monaghan at the moment. The points on the board, if they lose this weekend, then it's not the end of the world. They can still finish fairly well in the league, so that might actually enable them to play a bit more freer. I'd imagine that we'll see a similar sort of setup to what they played away at Donegal, whereas it'll be very much packing the defence and a counter-attacking game to an extreme level. Very difficult to go down there and get something, but you know, they're an experienced team at this stage. There's a lot of continuity in team selection there. Desi Moane seems to be leaving or picking up where he left off last year. They're getting Conor McManus back to full fitness. So there's a lot of reasons to be positive for Monaghan. Will it be able to get a result down there? Well, I suppose they have to keep their discipline. That's something they didn't do away at Mayo anyway. So they have to keep their discipline for one. And if they do, who knows? Who knows? But at the end of the day, they've done enough so far that it's not do or die for them.
Yeah, Ronan, what about you? There seems to be a bit of positivity about Monaghan. As Niall said, they've got the points on the board, which are, you know, if you look at the likes of, say, even Donegal and Derry, of course, the other example of these teams who are kind of scrapping to get these here points. Monaghan in quite a comfortable position in that they got their points early on. They're now maybe getting the stage, getting Conor McManus back to fitness, that they're really looking, right, let's compete for the rest of the league. They're maybe not that bothered about winning it. Of course, it'd be nice too, but probably the best performance came against, you know, against the likes of Cork and that, who they didn't beat. But are they more trying to look for a winning game plan rather than a big performance down here?
Well, yeah, that's right. Like, what you don't want to happen is for anybody to get injured. You want to have everyone going into the championship fully fit and consistent. Like, I think that it's so important to have a consistent panel going in, just with a group of 15. Maybe make one change per game, just so that guys just know that are familiar and they're familiar with playing with each other, and it's just like a well-oiled machine. And that's what Monaghan have been over the past couple of years. They just so the result won't even matter. Like, they'll probably walk off the field and not even look at the scoreboard. Like, did we win? Oh, brilliant, great. You know, where's the oranges and the tag? Like, it doesn't really matter at this point.
Yeah, well, Monaghan will be a team that's looking to build, but then of course the big clash, and it's an all-Ulster clash as well, Ronan. Got Donegal taking on Tyrone. Now this is, of course, is going to be a precursor to their meeting in the championship. What is the important thing out of this? Is it the result? Is it laying down a marker to the other team? You've got the contrast of Rory Gallagher's new to the position. You got then Mickey Hart, who's obviously very experienced in this. What do you expect to be coming out of this game? Like, what would be the main trend that you expect to be? I don't know, with these two sides, that it's almost like they've not had great leagues. You know, Tyrone second bottom, Donegal third bottom, both on 4 points. What would be the main talking point, do you think, to come out of this game?
It'll probably be a rye. It'll be a punch up, Connor. That's what it's going to be. You know, it's just a brilliant match for Ulster. It's a brilliant match for Gaelic life because it just highlights everything we love. Ulster Derby, two teams that really have to win, and two teams that don't really want to be in a position where they have to win because they're trying to set up for the championship. Donegal haven't looked convincing in every game that they've played, but then you don't know if they're showing their hand or not. Tyrone need a win. They don't want to go down. Like, but at the same time, they're playing well, and their system is getting better. So it's just there's a lot to be excited about this game. In contrast to Monaghan Derry's games, which don't really matter a pile, this game it kind of matters. Like, and you cannot underestimate that Tyrone Donegal rivalry. Like, it's looking across the borders each other, and Donegal would love to put one over a Tyrone and just remind them that you aren't the top dogs in Ulster anymore.
Yeah, well, from Donegal's point of view, then now you have Rory Gallagher in there. Is he likely to continue sort of McGuinness's trait of being quite, I don't know, not revealing everything in the league? You know, actually performing quite poorly in the league at times in the past, but then when it comes to championship, bang, they're ready to go. Is that something you expect from Gallagher in this position as well, or do you think this is, well, he's doing his own thing as well?
No, I think Gallagher and Mara McGuinness in a lot of things, to be honest with you, Connor. I see Mickey Hart was saying during the week there that being relegated would be a bit of a disaster. I'd say in Donegal, they're happy enough. They wouldn't be happy enough, obviously, like, but they're in Division 2 last year there, and it didn't hurt them too much, you know. And I think they're probably less concerned about relegation than Tyrone are, but I still think they'll come out on top here. It's the usual stuff. Kevin Cassidy made an interesting point in the paper today. He reckons that Donegal's game obviously is so based on speed, you know, when they're breaking down attack and breaking out. But he thinks that speed hasn't been there this year, which is an interesting thing. He doesn't know if it's to do with what drills are doing or what. But, you know, we only have to look back to the Dublin match last year, and there was no shortage of speed breaking out. But so that, if the fact that it hasn't been shown this year, maybe suggests that they're tailoring their training towards the championship. And if they're relegated, I don't think they'll see it as the end of the world, to be honest with you. As Ronan says, I think it's going to be a feisty one. I think there could be a few wee sort of bit of handbags all over the pitch now. Hopefully, okay, as a fan, what I want is a bit of needle in it that warms it up for the championship clash. But if I was to call a winner, I'd probably go with Donegal at this stage. I think Tyrone are in real bother at the moment, to be honest with you. I think relegation is a really big prospect for them. I can't see them getting something this weekend, and then they're in real trouble then at that stage.
I thought it was really a melancholic Kevin Casty's column today. It was a man who was just, oh, please, Donegal, please attack, please stop being so defensive. But it was, there's more chance of me growing wings than Donegal going on attack. Like,
yeah.
Donegal are the only team that can hold sort of drop position at 9 points and still lose like they did against Monaghan there. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Just get used to it, accept it. Kevin is harping constantly for the attacking football of Donegal. It's not going to happen. And I know if Cassidy was in, if he is in charge of Donegal, there would be no 12 men behind the ball, that's for sure. But it's not going to happen under Rory. That's just the way it is. Which, and as I've said the whole time, I have no major problem with that. It's about results at the moment, and if there's big changes to be made, it's going to have to be done by the rule makers. I see Jarlett Burns quite vocal this week in talking about that they need to do something. So it's up to them to get something done. It's not up to Donegal to change the game.
Yeah, well, Ronan, what about from Tyrone's point of view then? Because Mickey Hart has described it as being, you know, it'd be a big, big problem for them if they were to be relegated. Donegal have been relegated recently and back up. It's Tyrone going into this game. They've got the win that everybody was like, what's everyone worried about? But they still find themselves second bottom. Is that really a sign of where this Tyrone team's at?
I think as there's pressure on Mickey Hart, I think Hart believes that he's got to get a victory to prove to everybody that he can still do the business like with this team. But it's a different team, and he's trying a different system, and you know, it's that whole siege mentality sort of thing again. Like, can he pull it off? But it's funny being in Tyrone because our offices are based in Tyrone, and you find that 1 week they are lamenting the fact that, oh God, we're in real trouble, and then the next thing you're thinking, well, maybe we're okay. You know, it's a real. You don't know where they don't really know where they're at. They don't know how good or bad this team is. A lot of them would say that they're terrible, but then other people think then they get one result and they think, well, you never know. Maybe we could win that old Ulster final. You know,
this isn't the Armagh coming at me, but I hope they're beat this weekend. You know what? If you're going into your last match knowing they need a win of any chance and it's a home to Kerry, well, then that all of a sudden looks like a cracking fixture, because you know Kerry would take no harm in relegating Tyrone. They would absolutely love it. And if Tyrone are fighting for lives, then that fixture turns out to be a cracker, so it does. So totally, you know, not an Armagh man, as I say. I just wouldn't mind if Tyrone beat, just for that scenario.
A shocking revelation there. Now, what about just a quick word of the other fixture then in the division? Because you've got Cork and Mayo, who are both of the top two in the league, and they're facing each other this weekend. Is there significance to them two playing each other? Because they've both been quite impressive, but the fact that now Cork are going to be travelling to Oneberg the following week, you know, and Mayo will be then hosting Donegal. You know, like, Cork have an opportunity to relegate Derry there, if they're not already this weekend. You know, Donegal will be travelling to Mayo. What if Cork and Mayo impressed you in this league campaign? Because they're in the top two positions. Surely they must be playing well.
Yeah, they are playing well. I think Mayo has just been the usual, a bit of inconsistency, but I know they played against 13, but they posted obviously a good tally against Monaghan. Played Kerry at the start of the year in a very good match, so they did. And when they are attacking, they're very, very good. Cork are interesting. I think I mentioned this last week. The fact that they seem to have progressed tactically, I'd say. They seem to be able to play defensive football when it's needed, and as they've shown, I suppose, against Tyrone there, and also when they went to Blaney and beat Monaghan, and no one beats Monaghan. Monaghan has been, that doesn't happen. They showed that they have the ability to open up too, and the fact that, you know, in the Dublin match they're a bit more defensive, and the Ulster games have come out a bit more attacking. I do know for a fact that the Cork management went to long measures to prepare for that Tyrone match, and they really put in their homework in what style of play they're going to play on the day, and they've done a lot of research and made a lot of calls, and they got the result at the end of the day. And that's the one thing, I suppose, against Cork. You always wonder, had they a plan B? You know, they're always big athletic players with a lot of speed, but they just maybe didn't have the in-game intelligence, but they just seem to have a wee bit more sort of tacticalness about them this year, and they just seem to be able to mix it up a wee bit and adapt to different styles. Against Mayo, they'll probably play an attacking game. There's no reason to be scared of Mayo and play a defensive thing. So you go all out of attack against Mayo, I suppose it doesn't matter the result. They're both in a very good position, you know, to get in the top four. But yeah, you got to give Cork credit. I know they have been seen as a league team over the last few years, certainly in the Coonaghan years, but you got to give credit for a team that can keep winning and come up the Ulster and beat Tyrone and beat Monaghan too.
Yeah, and especially Mayo, like you're saying there, they won't be scared to attack them. Mayo will be the exact same. You know, they'll have a go at Cork as well. Like, you know,
Can't have themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, so. Maybe doing a Donegal would be to win the match, but they can't help themselves. And it's brilliant. Mayo are one of the best, if not the best, team to watch in Ireland, because you just never know what you're going to get, but you will get some sort of entertainment. That's the thing about it.
Yeah, I think they might be looking for a bit of alternative silverware this year. Apart from the Connacht Championship, they might actually be going all out for the league. Ronan, you were talking about Cavan the day in the paper. Right bang in the middle of Division 2 there on 5 points. But in saying that, Meath and Roscommon above them are also on 5 points. Are they under any threat of perhaps going down with their fixtures that they've got remaining? They're this weekend, you know, they're going to be hosting Westmeath. Are they under any threat? Because scoring's not really been a forte of theirs, so to speak. Is it something that you see changing for them this weekend?
And also, I thought you were going to say their home form as well. Wow. Two defeats at home. That's a concern, I imagine, too, because they really want to be winning the home games. That's what they always say. That's what the managers will always trot out as one of the stock lines to try and keep us journalists happy. They shouldn't. It's what I said. I think I've said it in previous podcasts. Whenever you expect Cavan to win, they always lose. Whenever you expect them to lose, they win. They're just very hard to read why they're going to do. Their scoring's good. Average points scored 13. But they're conceding a wee bit more than that. I don't know. Like it's tricky to say. I'd like to think that they really should be doing better. I suppose if for them to win, Garoge needs to be in flying form. Whenever he's playing well, Cavan are playing well, and he's the sort of guy who can win a match on his own. So, but you never know.
Yeah. Well, now you've got, of course, Down there in Division 2 who are looking down on everyone else, looking quite comfortable. Looking like they're going to go up and playing very well. You've been to watch them a few times as well. Should they be? Will they be looking to ceiling promotion this weekend, or are they going a long way towards
it? They should do. I didn't look at the stats, but I've seen Down against me a couple of times in Yuri since they've done the venue up. I remember they lost a championship qualifier there once. I think Miles had an absolute stormer for me, and I remember them beating them in the league a few years ago at home Down one. So they seem to have a mixed sort of record against Meath in Yuri. I was on the pitch after the beat Galway, and as I said in the podcast after, it was Stevie Keane that won the match, and the goalie, they really should have been beat by 8 or 9 points, but Jim McCarry had them in the huddle after the match, and he was congratulating them for getting over the line, but he was eating them alive for their start the first 20 minutes, and he was telling them boys that would not be happening again. And he made it very, very clear to them that they would not be taking a foot back for anyone. And the following match, they go down and absolutely destroy Westmeath in their own patch. It's been a fantastic start for McCarry. He couldn't ask for better. If he had finished mid-table in Division 2, the fans would have been happy enough to see him, right, new manager, just getting used to the players. But they're two home matches. They're not going to mess it up now. I've no doubt about that. They're going to be playing Division 1 football again next year. And you have to give credit to him. He is still a new manager that's come in, but he's brought in a lot of new faces. Jared Collins came in this last wee while, you know. Arthur McConville, who had been coming off the bench, is playing a bit more. He's playing really well at the moment. He'll create a goal chance a match. Conor Laverty isn't scoring massive, but he's just been absolutely majestic. He's possibly the form forward in Ulster. You know that over this last 18 months, he's been fantastic. They're just looking in a good place and pretty confident. I would still be a bit worried about the way they played against Galway. That will be the wake-up call that they maybe needed, because they were second best that day. But look, they got the 2 points to follow it up with an absolutely fantastic performance down in Mullingar. And there'll be a big crowd out. A Saturday night fixture, there'll be a good old atmosphere. The stand will be packed. And I'd like to say, I'd like to think that they'll get the job done this weekend and then they can just sort of relax the following week.
Yeah, well,
Niall, you're writing close to Down. What do the Down people think about the way Down are playing? Are they raging that they're being defensive, or do they not care? Are they Donegal and not really care about the aesthetics of the match?
They probably, as the seasons went on, they've probably come out of their shell a wee bit. In the McKenna Cup, I remember Jim was giving off about the Cavan being too defensive, but I think Down actually set up more defensive than Cavan that day, but they're not Donegal. They're playing nice fluid football, you know, to do what McCarrie likes to do, and to get bodies around the half-back and especially around midfield, but they're not horribly defensive. They're not taking it to new measures, you know. What I see them implementing more is something that Down were missing for years, was the work rate of the front six. Conor Laverty always had that work rate. You know, he's one by this never, and it's no coincidence that he was playing under McCarrie at Kilcoo for years, you know. But you can see the other forwards are starting to buy into that.
He's captain as well, isn't he, Laverty?
He's captain as well.
Like, so he's obviously something that he wants the rest to emulate.
The Galway match in the last 5 minutes, when the game was in the balance, twice he turned over the ball in his full back line out in the corner. He's just all over the show. He is an absolute elite forward. People are realising it now, and maybe because Down haven't been this last couple of years just as prominent as they were at the start of James McCartan's reign, but Laverty last year and this year, he's just the absolute probably form forward. Him and Conor McManus for me are the two form forwards in Ulster. He drives that team on. He really does. And then there's the other things too. Mark Poland had his honeymoon, so he is late returning. He's still getting up to speed a wee bit. It'll probably take a few weeks for him to get totally up to speed the rest of him. So you've Poland will come back in, who's obviously such a big player for him. Aidan Carr's got a knock, he'll come back in. Benny McCardle's injured, he'll come back in. All of a sudden, it's looking very, very rosy for Down. You know, they lost a lot of players, lost a lot of big names, but Jesus, they've responded well. And Ronan, to answer your question in a roundabout way, I think Down fans are just dying for a bit of success at this stage. You look at minor, under 21, and senior, they've just, for such a big county with such a strong history, they've been underachieving by a considerable distance. So, look, getting up to promotion, I think they'd take it by hook or by crook at this stage, but they do, when they play a nice football, they do play a nice football.
Yeah.
Do you know what it says to me? It says to me that the managers that get on best with Gaelic life are the managers that do well. Jim McCarrie is a legend in the Gaelic life office. We love him. Love him. He chats away, no bother to us. Like, we can't get him off the phone. Like, you know, have to put the hang up on him.
He said after the Westmeath match, all right, in the interviews, that it was because of Gaelic life. I think he did say that.
If you want to win league matches, be friends of Gaelic life, really. But to be a bit more serious, though, is it not the McCarrie? This man should have been in county management sooner. I know he was manager before, like, but why was he not in it ever since? Like,
yeah, well, he managed Armagh 20 years ago, Ronan. He's looked about 30 for about 20 years now. I'm afraid to ask him what age he is, because he's been about a long time.
You might not get any more phone calls if you ask him what age he is.
No, he doesn't age a day. I don't know what he's doing, but fair play to him. I suppose it's actually a good point now, because I think when James stepped away, he was linked with it, but maybe not firmly linked with it. Then there's all the sort of rumours that McEntee was coming in and different things like that. I suppose he was winning in the Down club scene, and that's what, you know, he firmly felt there was an Ulster title at least in that Kilcoo team. It didn't happen in the end, but he certainly brought that club on something serious and made them into one of the best teams in Ulster. So I suppose the opportunity was just picking his time, and he probably took Down in a time where you thought they might have struggled for a year or two, but so far, and we're still early in the season, and we got to remember what Derry were like in the league last year, and you can't take anything for granted, but so far it's so good. Like, you know, they're scoring it. I'm just looking here, 91 points in 5 games. They're the highest scorers in the division. They're playing nice football. They're playing nice football and getting scores, so as an Armagh man, see, I'll not see how long may it continue, but I will like to point out that there's an Armagh man in charge of them, and maybe that's why they're winning.
Maybe that's it.
That's maybe something to do with it. Speaking of Armagh, then we'll go there because they are running. They're doing very well as well. Like we talked about them last week. They're of course their top in division, joint with Fermanagh. Nice derby duel with Louth that McGeaney says he's looking forward to.
It's interesting. Armagh and Louth matches. Last year, Armagh somehow managed to draw. They were getting hammered and Louth threw it away. The year before, Louth won it up in Armagh, beat Armagh. The time before they met in the league, Louth were 2 points up with a minute to go and Stephen McDonald hit the back of the net. Armagh struggle against Louth in the league. They haven't, I don't know, couldn't tell you the last time they met in the championship. I don't even know if they've ever met in the championship. But this last few times they've struggled against Louth. And seeing that, I think we're going to absolutely hammer them this weekend. Loud are a team that Joe Brawley would probably sit and applaud because in Colin Kelly they have a manager who wants to play the game as if it's the mid-90s and he's playing six forwards, two midfielders and six defenders essentially. He has an attacking sense. He likes playing attacking football. They are posting really big scores but they are getting absolutely destroyed defensively and it's going to be a high-scoring match. If there's any bookies doing points over or under, I'll go for the over because it's going to be a very high-scoring match. I can see Loud posting a decent tally, but I can't see them get within 6 or 7 points of Armagh, to be honest with you. I think it'll be fairly obvious there'll be a gulf there this weekend. Armagh are playing decent football. They are playing decent football. Even in the draw against Loud, some of the football they played was first class, but they get to an attacking spot and then they just sort of struggle to pull the trigger and they're a wee bit shot shy at the moment, bar Micheál McKenna, who's come in and has been absolutely brilliant since he's come in this year. So that's probably what McGeaney will be looking. They're, especially at home, they just don't seem to be able to take the shot on. I don't know if there's the pressure of playing in front of their fans or what. On the road, they seem to get goals, they seem to be okay, but just at home, they just need to maybe take the shot on, essentially. The midfielder's running through and they're hesitating and defenders coming out of half-back and they're hesitating in front of goal. They're probably being told to play the percentages and get the ball to the shooters, but sometimes as a fan, you just want to see them take a pop from 35 yards and if it goes wide, it goes wide. You go again, you know.
Yeah. Well, joint top with them, Ron, you've got Fermanagh. And we chatted to Ryan McCluskey last week in the show, and he's saying about a lot of things going well. Not even a lot of things different, really, from previous years, but they have been working harder, and you can tell, really. But their points, it's very similar to Armagh. Now, Armagh have an opportunity to perhaps rack up a big score against Louth as their home team, but Fermanagh are travelling to Wexford, who are second bottom. Is there a chance there for them that they can maybe try and overtake Armagh in that stakes after drawing with them earlier?
Yeah, why not? Why not? I think Fermanagh have shown that it wasn't a bit of early season form. They're looking, as I said last week with Ryan, they look in really good condition. And it's noticeable that they're finishing all games pretty strongly, like, you know, they've obviously done an awful lot of work, both on the tactical side of things and the fitness side of things, because they look very confident in their game plan. It's much more restrictive than what Fermanagh teams would have been known to play. It's a lot of ball through the hands. It's lateral passing through the hands. And it's the safe options. But they're quite good at it. They seem quite good when I seen them there a few weeks ago. And if they are going to launch it long, which they do sometimes to Sean Quigley, the one criticism I have a lot of the time, the ball in the Quigley seems to be pretty poor. That's probably one thing they have to work on. But yeah, look, there's no reason why they can't finish top of this group. Absolutely no reason at all.
Yeah, okay. Well, then
I just wanted to say, though, that it's so important that you have somebody like Sean Quigley so who can score freakishly high in first
leg. Score and score and score. It's just, it's very, very impressive, just the some of the scores he racks up.
Some of the score, and I'd see it if you're talking to John Cusin from Anna Harrell or Colin Bradley or whoever you're talking to, they'd probably say he's not even playing that well. It's the strangest thing. Yeah. I know a lot of his scores do come from frees, but they'd probably say he's playing nowhere near as well as he can, which he's still what? He's posting 10, 11 points nearly each match. So if you're by not playing well and still kicking that, you know, it's not a bad thing at all.
Doing all
and young
right,
and he's got Tom Askin McCargan alongside him as well, like who can chip in too. What I wanted to say was you about Fermanagh is that, and usually what you find is whenever it kind of gets a new manager, they get that burst in the first season. sort of like maybe Macari, but what Pete Scott is a second year burst. Like, they didn't do well in the first year, and they've got it in the second year, which is, I think, is much more difficult to do, because they all know you, the players all know you, and they maybe slack off a bit. But he's, to be able to do that, that just says a lot for Pete McGrath and his ability to get players to do what he wants.
You know, it's also interesting that you have a manager that became legendary in the county in the early 90s when the game was seen as a free-flowing game, and all of a sudden now he has started playing a defensive game, which to me says, speaks volumes about a man that's probably listening to his management team as much as he can, and at the moment it seems to be working.
Yeah, he's very much adapting. Like, it's very easy for people to just be stuck in their ways, but obviously the ability to be able to be versatile in that way is crucial to Fermanagh and other teams' success in this league campaign.
Yeah, absolutely.
Let's move on to the mighty Saffrons, because we're on the charge, boys. We're going for that there promotion spot. Now, on to 7 points now. Longford top and Offaly as well. They're both in 9 points each. Antrim are going to be hosting Wicklow in Corrigan Park in Belfast. A win here and then travelling to Offaly the week after, Antrim could be going up.
Yeah, I suppose that Longford defeat's probably still in the back of their minds as one that just, you know, even if you had got a point that day, it would have made just such a difference to where you're standing now. But look, it's, as you said, Offaly in their last game, Wicklow at home, it's probably still in their own hands. That's all you can do is win this weekend and worry about Offaly after that. But they've certainly, from a position where they locked out of it, they've certainly picked it up and given themselves a chance. And I think Antrim fans would have been expecting, well, maybe not expecting, but certainly very hopeful of promotion. So they've got two matches to turn it around. But they'll have a degree of confidence after the last couple of matches, Connor, yeah.
Yeah. And running as well, Antrim had an absolute stinking league campaign last year. You know, they were nowhere near the promotion spot. So at least, even if they were to miss out this year, it still is a sign of a little bit of progress in that way. You know, if they were to finish a point out of the top two, at least, you know, they've gone a lot better since last year.
If Antrim don't get promoted, then it's a disaster. I think you have to be straight about that. Those small moral victories sound a lot like the moral victories that moral results whenever the Antrim Hurlers get whenever they're beaten by a couple of points by Limerick and that sort of thing. No, it's a disaster if Antrim don't go up. But what I did want to say about Antrim was, it's interesting that we were chatting about, you know, myself and Kieran, that the defence is made up of country boys and the attack's made up of Belfast boys. You know?
Well, the goalkeeper, singles goalkeeper.
All the soccer boys trying to put it in the net, and all the reliable country bucks like he can keep the ball out. Like, I think that's a lovely image of Antrim.
So you're saying St. Gall's have no backs then that can play at this level? Well, you've got Chris Kerr in nets there, so at least you got one City boy at the back. At least.
How do you feel about it, Connor? You bleed yellow. How do you feel about it?
Well, as I was saying, whenever they couple of games, they drew with Carlow at home and lost to Longford. It was a case of, you know, it was just nothing. You know, really coming off that at all. Considering last year's was like, it was an absolutely horrible league campaign. I just think that there definitely has been a, you know, being able to keep everybody in the panel is always a bit of an advantage, it seems, whenever it comes with Antrim. But there seems to be a lot of people buying into what they're trying to do there. And that's something that they're very, the cohesion within the squad that you see when the other teams like Tyrone and, you know, Donegal, these boys would literally, they'd die for each other. Do you know what I mean? And like, Antrim needs to get towards that. It's sometimes isn't very obvious of that, and it can be actually quite, I don't know, like you're saying there about moral victories or moral performances even sometimes, that it's almost like they need to start showing that we are a team. Now, I know you're saying there, you're joking about the country boys at the back and the city boys up front, but it has been quite hard to gel that together. Like, it's something that is really lacking. And the fact that after the first two games being quite poor, the resurgence of them since then to win all those games. You know, London, they sort of hobbled over the line and their man sent off, but I think it speaks a lot of volumes for them to really come together as a squad, because it's something that it's taken for granted in other teams, but in Antrim's case, I think this is, I think it's been quite good progress in that sense.
It has to be said that there's some cracking young players coming through, like, you know, Ryan Murray's obviously, Patrick McBride, Owen Gallagher's going to be a horseman player for you for years to come, like, you know. Probably a young Antrim team, and it's probably one of the youngest Antrim teams in a good few years, Connor, would it be?
Yeah, maybe, but the problem that seems to be that there's no real continuity then, you know, with Boyce going on, you know, there seems to be, there still has happens to be a fallback into some of the other players who have been around, like Tony Scully and that, who are brilliant players. I think they're great players, but there definitely needs to be more of a, I don't know, like more of a conveyor belt coming through and making them mainstays in the team. Like, I think that's what a lot of people are looking for CJ McGorty to do, but he's been in, out on the panel, off the panel the last couple of years. Now he's in, of course, at the minute. So it's really something that needs to continue. I think losing somebody like James Lockery to a county like Antrim as well is quite huge. You know, like, he's a very, very talented player. To lose somebody like him maybe wouldn't affect other teams as much, but for Antrim, you know, it's something that, that's one of your star men sort of leaving. But no, I think it's, I kind of agree with you, the sense, Ronan, that would be quite disastrous in a way if there was no promotion, but considering the start they had, and it's a new manager as well there, Fitzsimmons, that I think if they were to get to at least challenging towards the top, and as you said, Niall, still in their own hands.
In their own hand. It's interesting, isn't it, that it took Lockery to go to Cork before the GA public realised just how good he was. And I suppose that's why you need to get out of Division 4, so people are seeing their matches and people are reading about you, and they're knowing about players like James Lockery, because, you know, it's the same. You go into every Ulster Championship and you're going, and it's almost every single year you're seeing the same thing and you're going, Jesus, that Antrim team on paper is really, really good. Mm-hmm. It's really, really good. And then it just falls apart. But they do have some quality players, as you say. This cohesion is getting that spurt, is getting that Tyrone and Donegal level of preparation and buying into it. And you know, Fermanagh, they beat Fermanagh in the Championship last year, and all of a sudden Fermanagh are looking like they're going up to Division 2. So you get your sort of heads in order, you get a good game plan in place, who knows? You can go far.
Exactly. Well, maybe... Well, Ron, maybe you just want to say a wee word about the Antrim Hurlers, actually, as you were covering it in the paper today. Of course, they got a relegation playoff against Laois. They've not won any of their league games, lost all five, but they're facing Laois, a team that you'd sort of expect to be around the same level, but of course beat Antrim earlier in the campaign. From going into this game, is relegation, in my opinion, for the Hurlers is disastrous. Now, I have to admit that would be, but of course, after this game, if they were to lose or Laois were to lose, they have that other, they've got that safety net of playing another game.
I was really hoping that Antrim would lose the relegation, but then have to play Derry in a playoff match for Derry to go up. But Derry let me down and didn't get to beat Wicklow, the clowns.
Yeah, but anyway, that was quite surprising. Maybe we mention that after, actually.
Yeah. But no, but to talk about Antrim, yeah, it would be a massive. They can't afford to go down. But whenever I was chatting to Neil McCauley this week, he said league's just about playing matches, and he's sort of right. But the thing is, why are Antrim not able at top speed whenever they get to the league? Like, and the thing is, last year they got the Championship and they were flying at the round robin stage, and should have did better in the quarter final. But and he said that's just because, he suggested that it was just because they don't have enough preparation and they don't have enough game time, or they're slow to start in the league. That's not a concern, but that's perhaps just why Antrim haven't been able to win those kind of matches. Like, I think they'll beat Laois at the weekend. Like that, that's what they do. That's what they did last year. Once they realize they're going to be in a relegation battle, they put all their focus on that game. And once players focus their minds on something, they can really achieve it. And they probably will beat Laois and get themselves out of a problem. But it's how they perform in Leinster. That's the big thing.
the match at the weekend there against Offaly, when they played a sort of, you know, a few boys that hadn't been featuring. It was a very good performance. Well, they conceded a goal within 30 seconds, but I think it was 2-3 they conceded early on, and then after maybe for the rest of the next 40 minutes, I think Antrim outscored Offaly. They only lost by 4 points. It was actually quite a good performance in the end. So that tactic of resting the players ahead of the playoff they did last year, it didn't really work out last year. It didn't work out in the dead rubber game last year, as they got hammered by Offaly, but of course it led to them winning the playoff against them. This year they've put in a great performance in the dead rubber game. Now going in against Leash, yeah, I'd be quite confident. But the only thing is travelling down the Leash, you can't really underestimate that they're travelling down. But yeah, what about Derry then? Because they had an opportunity there to be playing in the league final, and then somehow Wicklow managed to beat them.
Yeah, I noticed that McLean said that, that the manager, Tom McLean, said that they were focused, they were thinking about the, well, he reckons they were thinking about the size of the score, because they had to get a big scoring difference in order to have a chance. So they maybe were focused too much on that, and they didn't think about winning the game first. Like a lot like they're supposed to the rugby last week, where they're just trying to put up a big number. I'm not too overly concerned. Like, I still think that plenty of good hurlers there in Derry, and I think we can definitely give the Christy Ring a rattle, a real good rattle. Like, because they've got Henry back and Big Rory, and no, there's a lot of good hurlers there, you know. And the likes of Ashley McCluskey, who thinks he can beat Kilkenny, like, Derry can do that. Derry can do stuff, yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I'm not battling that badly. I don't think, what I should say is, I don't think Derry would do well up in 1B, but 2A is brilliant for them, and the fact that they're able to stay up there the past two seasons is just brilliant, particularly whenever Down can't get up.
Yeah, that really was a sign of the times that Down are now playing Donegal in the league. You know, it's quite... I don't know. It just shows you how far they managed to fall there.
Donegal. Just to add, Donegal pushing Kildare to the pin of the collar last. That's one of the probably best results. Well, not best results. One of the most impressive results probably Donegal hurlers have ever had. That is. Oh, I know Kildare. Everything was sorted, but that's still an outstanding result. And you talk about a confidence booster going into the playoff. Fair play to them. Rager Act is a. Another friend of Gaelic life, another man we like to see do well. Fair play to them, because they've struggled in the division, but they've shown in patches that they've played well, you know. Lee Henderson's an outstanding player, and if they can get Danny Cullen and boys like back to full fitness, then, you know, they'll make progress, and they'll continue to make progress, but I don't think they'll get out of the... I think they'll have to come back up again next year, unfortunately.
Yeah, well,
but that's an interesting point that they're doing. They're competing with Kildare without a full hand. Like, he's missing five guys. Well, he's been missing five guys for the league, and without Joe Boyle or Cullen. Like, if they had the full set, they could have got at least one win and maybe not been in this position. Like, Donegal is a hurling story, a big hurling story.
Really is.
Yeah. What about just anything else we should be looking out in the paper for this week, Ronan? Is there anything that stands out for you that should really take all of our attention?
I think what you need to do, if you are a GA fan, is to start reading John Morrison, start reading Stephen Poacher. Those guys are writing some incredible columns in our paper. Both of them are talking about the attacking game and about why teams don't attack. And they really get to the nub of the whole argument. Forget Jarlath Burns, forget Joe Brawley, forget all those guys. John Morrison and Stevie Poacher explain why teams play defensive and explain how teams can become more attacking, like, and explain whose fault it is and why it happens. Like, and I think they're speaking more sense than you'll ever hear, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about for you, Niall?
My pick would probably be, well, obviously our Hogan Cup and our with St. Patrick's Cavan, but I'm going to give a shout out to College Shane Nicaraga from Donegal, who are playing in the B semi final this weekend. We've interviews with them. They're a college that's won Markey Cups twice in a row now. They've defeated McLaren champions, our ladies there, to get into the semi finals. They're a school of 225 pupils, 110 boys. That's going through all the years. They've 73 boys between under 14 and under 18 and a half to play football, and they're still managing to get the All-Ireland semi-finals. So they're my pick of the week. They're my good story for the week now, and love to see them get to the All-Ireland final at least.
Yeah,
here, you have to wonder about that. You have to wonder about a school like that with 70 kids. The PE teachers must have said, what are we going to do here? Like, they're just grabbing guys and saying, you're definitely playing football. Like, and the lad's sitting, he wants to be in Glee or something, and he wants to be a singer. Like, and the guy goes, no, put that tutu down, you're playing football. Like,
I just don't get how something like that could work. You have to be very, very lucky to just get a panel joining your school. I don't know. It just seems like something that's very... I don't know, it seems like it should be pretty impossible to do for a school at that size. How many boys do you say were in the whole school?
110 boys in the school, 73 playing football between the under 14, under 16 and a half, and under 18 and a half team. I think the most, if you get detention, you must have to join the football team or something. I don't know what way they're working it, but They're getting the job done, and it's, we talk about Donegal hurlers, that's another really impressive story. And I know Stevie Poacher, who we talk about in our one of our columnists, he's in regular contact with the school because he thinks it's just one of the best stories of all schools football or hurling, even. He just, schools football or hurling, he just thinks they are, you talk about a team punching above their weight and just against the odds are producing sort of really good teams, it's excellent now, it's excellent. So, and they're very proud of it. They're very, very proud of it, as you'll see in the paper there, and rightly so.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to throw out congratulations for my old school as well, Cross Passion College, back in the All-Ireland B final now. They were in it last year and lost out. You know, they've already got a couple of All-Irelands under their belts there towards, I think it was 2009 around then. They got two in a row there, so they're back in the final again. We managed to get to the All-Ireland final in my year. I think it was the first time we won the McGain Cup in 10 years, whenever we won it in 2006. So, yeah, since then they managed to seal two All-Ireland titles. They got to the final last year, and they're going to Semple Stadium again. So it's very impressive.
Was that the Cassidy and Kearney dream team taking that team, was it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A soccer man and a Balahi footballer.
It's a potent combo, isn't it?
Anyway,
yeah, but yeah, it's
11 of last year's first 15 are still there. They're going to definitely get out anyway.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Yeah, I know from a lot of boys from my club that are involved in it. There's a serious amount of work being put into that team, and they really do take it that seriously. So I'd have full confidence in them winning.
I think for wee T.T. Butler after the injury last year too, it'd be lovely to see them win it. You know, he had to miss out last year. Obviously now it'd be great for him and the boys that were there last year to get over the line this time, because I watched it last year and I remember it was a very unfortunate goal. I'm sure you remember, Connor.
Kieran Butler.
I'd say an inconclusive goal. I don't think the camera angle ever determined, and you never like seeing All-Ireland final. No, it wasn't ultimately decided on that, but it played a big part. So you'd hope them boys go back and make amends this year.
Yeah, because I think that there was the goal just before half time. It put 4 points the difference instead of one, you know. So it could have played a big part. So yeah, best luck to them in the final. Anything else to add, lads, before we go?
No, that's 100%, Connor.
That's great. Well, okay, thanks for listening, everybody. You'll be able to find us on GaelicLife.com, GAScores.com. Find us all on Twitter there as well, and from the usual places. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes if you're not doing that already, and leave us a wee review. You can do the same on SoundCloud. And yeah, thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you next week.
Oh, holy Moses!
I tell you what they've achieved. They've achieved something absolutely rotten.
And Kieran McGeaney as a player was, a phenomenal player, and he didn't cry and he didn't whinge, you know.
Our mission was to show that we're no longer the whipping boys of Munster.
But I tell you what, you can forget about Sean Kavanagh as far as he's a man. Remember that tribe in Iraq, the Shiite tribe? Well, we've watched Shiite football.
People think I'm a bit of a lunatic, loose cannon, whatever you'd like to say.
Seamus! Come on! Move! Move!
taking off my ring now. I walk on through the door, and every little lady shaking on the dance floor, laughing to my friends, loosen up my tie. I'm a getting older kid.